Got a red light. Red light. Like Dr. Campbell says, it sure does take a whole lot more banjo work to preach nowadays than it used to. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, we're looking at one verse, verse 22, and I'm going to read it and then we'll pray. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Bless it to us, help us to understand what we need to give you honor and praise and glory. Help us to realize that the only true riches and that which lasts into eternity are the riches we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Okay, so quick review. Last time, and there's just two main points in this one short verse. First one is, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. Secondly, he adds no sorrow along with those riches that come from him. So, in making us rich, I said last week that first of all, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich because it is given by Jesus Christ. Scripture there is Proverbs 8 and verse 18. Secondly, the riches that God gives are unsearchable, according to Paul, Ephesians 3, 8. And that's why they are such a blessing and make us so rich. Then thirdly, the blessings of the Lord that make us rich are only inherited by the elect, by his chosen ones, James chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, one more point on that, and then we'll go on into the second part, which is he adds no sorrow with the blessings and riches he gives. But the last thing under the blessings of the Lord that make us rich is that they meet our every need. And we won't have to turn there. I'll just quote Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." They meet our every need, the riches that God gives. And again, remember that the primary focus of those is spiritual riches. That's why we can confidently agree with that and say amen. That's right. There is no spiritual richness that I don't have if I'm a Christian. I have it all. In fact, in Ephesians 1, Paul says that we already are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. We already enjoy that, even though we're still earthbound right now. And so the very fact that God gives these riches and they're given to us through Christ, then they have to be able to meet our every need because God meets every need. There's nothing lacking in God, and therefore whatever we go to him for in the sense of spiritual need, he has it. Now, along with that, he also can meet every other need, though sometimes he chooses not to, right? Spiritual riches are a given because they're in Christ, we belong to Christ, we have them all, 100%. But let's just talk about another rich. Let's talk about a riches of physical health. I mean, that's a richness, isn't it, to have physical health? And God can give that out of his abundant supply, but he doesn't always give it, right? Material possessions and having enough money to not only get by, but a little bit of overflow or whatever. God can do that, and if you have it, it came from him, but he doesn't do that for all his children, right? So all the other blessings that come from the Lord all come from him. Every good and perfect gift is from above, James says. But his primary focus when he says that is exactly what Paul's talking about, spiritual riches. And that, after all, that's all that's going to last into eternity. Our physical health will only last until they begin to throw the dirt in, right? and our material wealth the same way. It'll only last until we've gone on and somebody coming behind us gets it, if there's anything left. And so the only thing that's eternal are the spiritual riches, and that's why we can say very confidently along with Paul, yes, amen, Paul, God does bless us and meet our every spiritual need in Christ. Okay, so that's the blessings that make us rich. Now, secondly, he adds no sorrow to it. Now, the only way we can really get a grip on that is to talk about how earthly riches and blessings do bring sorrow, ultimately. So what we're going to do now in these next few minutes is just cover those several reasons, several things that are true about earthly riches and the pursuit of earthly goods that are, hey, no question about it, many of them are indeed blessings. They are earthly blessings. But there's always a problem connected with those earthly blessings. So that's why he says, my blessings, the blessings that are spiritual, add no sorrow. The worldly blessings do. So, first thing, worldly blessings many times cause greed. They cause greed. Psalm 62, if you want to follow me in some of these scriptures. Psalm 62, in verse 10, David says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Then here it comes. If riches, worldly riches, increase, set not your heart upon them. So he's saying, even for the child of God, earthly riches may increase. Just don't set your heart on them. Be thankful for them. Praise him for them. But certainly don't make them the be-all to end-all of your happiness and your existence. Because they won't last, right? Secondly, earthly blessings do bring sorrow because many times they lead to strong temptations. Earthly blessings can lead to strong temptations. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 9, Paul says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. By the way, just a correction of what the common man's view of that verse is. He misquotes that. Most any common man does, and a lot of Christians do too. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil, does it? Love of money is the root of all evil, verse 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts. So the earthly riches add sorrow to themselves because many times they'll lead an individual to strong temptations, to sin, to covet, to desire more than is lawful. Now, when it says they that will be rich, don't just kind of focus that in on somebody that wants to have a lot of money in the bank, a lot of real estate holdings, stocks and bonds, interest in oil futures or anything like that. Because, listen folks, y'all know this if you think about it. Some of the people who most go after some kind of riches and are the most covetous are the people that live in a shack. Sometimes those are the most materialistic people because they don't have anything and they want everything, right? And so we don't need to understand that simply as meaning money in the bank when it says they that would be rich. Sometimes it's people desiring other things, desiring other people even, that they don't have and shouldn't lawfully have. I mean, there's a lot of different things that fit under that heading, that category. So we have to understand that, again, earthly riches can bring on strong temptations to sin. Thirdly, I've already said this a minute ago, but let's look at a verse that spells it out. Earthly riches are fleeting and uncertain at best. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4 also. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. riches make themselves wings. And notice, the Bible says, are you really going to set your eyes on something that is not? Now think about that statement for a moment. If we buy something, let's just say we buy something, and that something is something we've been wanting for a while, and we're looking for it to bring us some joy, so we can see it, we can use it, we can hold on to it, we get some good out of it, and yet the Bible says, are you looking at that which is not? And we would say, well, it is, because I bought it. It's sitting on the table. But God says, no, it's really not. It's not. There's nothing to it. It has no substance. It has no real value and worth as far as God is concerned, as far as eternity. And so that's why he says, really? Really? Are you going to live for stuff that's not? It's just not. So why would you pursue it? Why would you want to stretch and gain and whatever you can to have it? Because it is fleeting. They make themselves wings, those riches do, and fly away. Fourthly, the blessings of the earth that bring sorrow can result in a barren life. A barren life. Turn one page over, chapter 11, in verse 28, Proverbs. He that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. Shall fall. It can result in a barren life. And then in Mark's gospel, where we've been plodding along on Sundays, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 19, in the parable of the soils that we spent some time on, Jesus says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's a barren life, unfruitful. And so, three things there that Jesus says bring that to pass: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. You know, everything the world has to offer is deceitful. I mean, it is. Now, again, we have to strike a balance between knowing that and guarding ourselves against putting too much stock in stuff, and on the other hand, as Christians, being thankful that God gives us a little bit of stuff. You know, we have some blessings. We have some things. We have some things that make our life better and easier and so forth. And even some things that we really don't have to have, but we just... the Lord enables us to get them anyway, and we enjoy them. There's nothing sinful in and of itself about that. But what the Bible is clear about is that all earthly riches ultimately will bring sorrow if you are deceived by those riches. That is, they promise more than they can ever ultimately deliver. Right? I mean, they really do. Look at the car commercials just as an example. Look at the car commercials. You know, here's a guy that's maybe way past retirement age, and he's trying to figure out what to do with the rest of his life, and he sees this commercial of this convertible, and there's a young lady driving it with her hair blowing in the wind and taking off down a California highway, and he says, I got to have one of those. That'll make my life complete. And for a while, if he buys it, it'll be fun. He'll enjoy it. But it's deceitful. Because sooner or later, it needs an alternator. Or it gets a flat. Or he gets enough miles on it, he can't hardly give it away without laying some money on the dash. Try to get somebody to take it. You see, that's the thing. Everything in this world, by the very nature of it, has a veneer to it that looks pretty good. But just hang on long enough, and you can see how it deteriorates. It decays. It loses its luster. And that's why when we set our hopes and dreams and heart on things eternal, those never fade, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Listen, don't lay up treasures down here. Moth's going to eat a hole in it. It's going to get rusted. Or some bad guy's going to kick the door in while you're gone and steal it. Instead, lay up treasures up there. No moths, no rust, no thieves. Eternal riches that are part of our joy in Christ. All right, and then lastly, and this it really is kind of the kicker of all of it, earthly riches, if we're not careful, if a person does not really watch their heart and their life, the sorrow they can bring ultimately can greatly hinder the possible entrance into the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, this is after the young rich man came to him and said, Lord, what I need to do to get eternal life? He said, you know the commandments. He said, hey, I've kept them all. He says, okay, sell everything you got. Give to the poor, and you'll follow me and have treasure in heaven. Well, he couldn't do that. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly, that is, can't hardly make it, is what it means, shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, one little interesting thing here, and I don't know, you may have heard somebody say this at some time, and it's not my purpose to be critical about it if you've heard that. But I've heard and even read sermons and commentaries and stuff where they say, well, when Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, there's a place there in Jerusalem at one of the city gates that they call the needle's eye. And it was a part of the gate where people could go on through pretty well, but if there was a loaded down pack animal, especially a camel, then you had to take all the baggage off of him and he had to get down on his knees and scoot on through. Well, that makes a pretty interesting picture, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about what it sounds like. Take the eye of a sewing needle and here's a big old camel. See if you can get him through that. Can't be done, can it? That's why the disciples said, well, then there's no hope for anybody. And Jesus said, well, yeah, with men it is impossible, but not with God. So the point here is riches of this life and the temporary blessings they bring, if we don't watch our heart, if we're not careful about them, they can actually hinder a person's entrance into the kingdom. Just like that camel not being able to squeeze through that sewing needle. Just not any way he can. And remember that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, there's not many noble, meaning rich, that are called. So the good news is he didn't say not any. And all of us can think of people who had plenty of money and really love God. I always think of Truett Cathy of Chick-fil-A. He taught fifth grade Sunday school class for boys for 40-something years in the Baptist church he was a member of in Georgia. Faithful man, loved God. And he had millions of dollars. So there are some. Paul says, just not many. Just like the rich young ruler, when you look at, okay, if I'm going to follow the carpenter, I got to get rid of all this, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I want to do that, you see. That's why we are so blessed to have the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, true riches, and it doesn't add any sorrow. Listen, everything we give up to follow Christ, and we really do have to give up all to follow Christ, right? We really do. We talked about that Sunday. We do have to give up all, but we receive so much more in return that it shouldn't even be a second thought about giving it all up, right? It really shouldn't. Because, again, the riches and the blessings are so worth it that why would we hang on to all that stuff that kept us from Christ? Why would we do that? So, God's blessing makes rich. You don't have to worry about any sorrow being attached to it ever. No disappointments with Jesus Christ. Never. Never be disappointed. All right. And that winds that up. Questions or comments?
Be looking ahead between now and next Wednesday. to look at chapter 11 and verse 14, which says, where no count